The following is a comparison between the original and remastered versions of A Cadmean Victory by M.J. Bradley, read by Sam Gabriel. For the ongoing text of A Cadmean Victory Remastered, visit alltheblankcanvas.com. For the ongoing audiobook of A Cadmean Victory Remastered, visit samgabrielvo.com. First, an excerpt from Chapter 11 of the original version of the story. Gryffindor Tower's common room greeted him with its usual oppressive silence. Ron, Seamus, and a handful of the others, who had decided his shadow was too much for them to bear, were sitting around the fire. He spared them no more than a glance and made his way towards the stairs.
"Harry!"
Ron's voice caught him with one foot on the bottom step. They all came over to stand around the base of the stairs. He turned to face them, directly. Wary, expecting another verbal assault. Ron's face seemed rather contorted, as if he was having problems breathing.
"What?"
He kept his voice as neutral as possible, but the words still came out chilly. Surprisingly, Ron winced.
"Look," he began, glancing around to gather courage from the others. "I'm not good at talking things out, so I'm just going to be frank. I know this hasn't been easy for you, and I'm not really certain you put your name in the goblet. I'm angry with you. We're all a bit mad." He gestured at all of the guys except Neville. "But we know it's not really your fault. You always get dragged into this stuff and come out looking like a hero. I know you hate it, but it's hard for us to always be overlooked when standing next to you."
"He's trying to say he's sorry," Hermione interrupted. "He's done a rubbish job of it. Because he still needs some time to come to terms with things, but he means it. We all do."
"So this is an apology."
Harry had waited for this moment, and had not dared hope it would come so soon as it had. His friends were coming round. Things would be back to normal. His heart should have swelled at the thought, but it didn't. It stayed remarkably still and heavy. "I don't care," he realized. There was no rush of joy or relief coming from their change of heart. "It's too late."
"I'm not sure I care anymore," he shrugged.
Their words just didn't seem to mean anything. They had made him nobody again. He could not forgive that. Nobody had never had anyone but himself. Harry had, but they had abandoned him. He could not trust them not to do the same thing again.
"How can you say that?"
Hermione exclaimed.
"I opened my mouth. I remembered how I felt about having my entire house turn their backs on me, and I spoke,"
Harry explained calmly.
"The only conversations I've had with any of you recently have been to listen to your explanations of why you're avoiding me."
"We made a mistake,"
Ron agreed.
"You must realize what it looks like and how much pressure Angelina is putting on everyone with her grudge against you. Please forgive us, and we'll carry on as before, stronger."
It was an admirable attempt, and Harry had to admire him for swallowing his pride so greatly and saying it. The Harry that had forgotten what it was like to be nobody would have given in to the pressure and accepted. But he felt no such obligation.
"It is not enough." "You ask for forgiveness. I do not forgive. I do not forget."
Ron snapped, his patience stretched too far.
"Fine then," he yelled. "You selfish, pretentious git! Go and bask in your glory! I hope it was worth the deaths of your parents and the loss of your only friends!"
Harry's wand was out of his sleeve and in his face before anyone else could move.
"What did you say?" he hissed.
Parseltongue came more easily than English when he was enraged. Ron went red with rage before his wand and swung his fist blindly. Caught by surprise, he caught Harry in the side of the head, and he fell back onto the stairs. The redhead was on top of him before he could roll away, swinging wildly, but Harry was used to such things back when his cousin had used to hit him and his post-ritual body was stronger. He shoved Ron off of him and smashed his left fist into his ex-best friend's stomach, driving the air out of him. Someone grabbed the back of his robes and his left arm, but he pulled himself free and lunged for his wand that lay where he'd dropped it in surprise. There was a flash of light, and it shot away from his grasp across the room, slicing past Seamus's head as he ducked. It struck the wall next to the fire with a loud, audible crunch and fell, shattered, to the floor.
Oh, I'm so sorry, Harry, Hermione gasped, horrified. I didn't mean to. I've been practicing the banishing spell, and it was just the first one I thought of. I panicked and wanted to stop the fight.
She was babbling, but he wasn't really listening to her. His veins were very slowly filling with ice. He was terribly, terribly angry. Whoever was holding him had let go, and the room was suddenly very, very quiet around him. Harry strode across the room to carefully retrieve all the fragmented pieces of his precious wand.
I didn't mean to do it, Harry,
Hermione whispered. He fixed her with the coldest stare he could manage, pushing as much of his fury as he could muster into his eyes. She flinched as if struck. I do not forgive, he repeated in a voice as cold as the ice in his blood. I do not forget.
And now the same scene, as it appears in Academy in Victory Remastered.
Gryffindor Tower's common room greeted him with a thick, heavy silence and the soft crackle of flames. Ron, Seamus, and a handful of the others, who decided his shadow was too much for them, sat in the sofas and chairs around the fire.
Traitors.
He spared them no more than a glance, and made his way towards the stairs.
Harry! Ron's voice caught him with one foot on the bottom step.
What? He twisted to face them, letting his wand slip down his sleeve to rest on his palm. They all came over to stand around the base of the stairs. Ron's face contorted as if he was having problems breathing.
Look.
He glanced around at the others behind him. I'm not good at talking things out, so I'm just going to be frank. I know this hasn't been easy for you, and I'm not really certain you did put your name in the goblet. I'm angry with you. We're all a bit mad, but we know it's not really your fault. You always get dragged into this stuff and come out looking like a hero. I know you hate it, but it's hard for us to always be overlooked when standing next to you. We want a bit of that too, you know, and
he's trying to say he's sorry, Hermione said. He's done a rubbish job of it, because he still needs some time to come to terms with things. But he means it. We all do.
She fiddled with her wand.
We just want things to be back like they were last year.
Back when you were better than everyone at everything.
His thoughts came in Riddle's smooth, high voice, and Harry felt a tight, cold shard of ice freeze somewhere beneath his ribs.
Back when you were certain you were needed, and didn't have to worry about actually being a good friend in order to stay one.
He took a deep breath. So this is an apology. His heart remained still and heavy.
I don't care.
The little ball of cold in his chest tightened like a vice.
It's too late.
I'm not sure I care anymore. Hermione gasped.
How can you say that?
I opened my mouth. I remembered how I felt about having my entire house turn their backs on me, and I spoke. Harry snapped.
The only conversations I've had with any of you have been to listen to your explanations of why you're avoiding me.
We made a mistake, Ron muttered. You must realize what it looks like and how much pressure Angelina is putting on everyone with her grudge against you. Forget about all this. Water under the bridge. You forgive us, we forgive you. Friends again. Right, mate?
But I don't forgive. And I don't forget.
Riddle's whisper echoed up from the base of his skull.
They left me all alone, to be nothing, like all those empty years in Privet Drive.
Harry tried to bury his thoughts, but the ice swirled through his blood unabated.
Wrong, Ron. I don't trust you lot anymore. You didn't have my back when I needed you. I can't rely on you to have my back next time. So I'll make sure I won't need you ever again.
Hermione flinched.
Fine, Ron yelled. You selfish, pretentious git! Go and bask in your glory. I hope it was worth the deaths of your parents and the loss of your only friends.
Harry thrust his wand into Ron's face.
What did you say?
Parcel Tongue slid off his tongue like water off snake scales. Ron went red and swung his fist. He caught Harry on the head in a hot flash, and he stumbled back onto the stairs. His wand clattered to the floor. Ron hurled himself on top of Harry, swinging his fists like an angry chimpanzee. Harry shoved Ron off and smashed his left fist into his stomach. Someone grabbed the back of his robes and his left arm, but he tore himself free and lunged for his wand. White light seared his eyes, and his wand shot away from his grasp across the room, slicing past Seamus's head. It crunched into the hearth's mantle. Splinters rained down onto the floor.
"Oh, I'm so sorry, Harry!"
Hermione stared at the pieces of his wand, her fingers pressed over her mouth.
"I didn't mean to! I've been practicing the banishing spell, and it was just the first one I thought of. I just wanted to stop the fight!"
"You were practicing it because you needed to be better than me."
His thoughts bubbled up in a fast, smooth, high whisper. So quick the words almost slid together. Ice crept into Harry's veins. He strode across the room and swept all the fragments into his hand.
"I didn't mean to do it, Harry,"
Hermione whispered.
"I don't care."
He clutched his handful of wand shards against his chest.
"You still did it. We're done."
He searched for words to fit the fist of ice beneath his ribs. They welled up from the back of his head onto trembling lips.
"I don't need you anymore, Hermione. But I certainly don't want you."